Well, for those of you I haven't met before, my name is John Henderson, and I have the privilege of serving as an associate pastor at University Baptist Church in Fayetteville, Arkansas. I also serve as a professor at the Southern Seminary, and so a lot of what the Lord has given me to be a part of is just counseling and care ministry in our local church and at a seminary level, and one of my favorite times of year is coming here and getting an opportunity to open the Word with you, to reflect on the implications of God's Word and the Gospel to personal ministry of the Word. And so that's what we're going to do this afternoon, is think about this category of innocent suffering. Because if you're involved in the personal ministry of the Word, if you are counseling men and women who are facing trouble, under trouble, living a life full of trouble, then you will encounter situations where you're sitting across from someone who isn't sinless, but who is suffering innocently. And so it's important to have that category in our own hearts and minds ready so that we would minister wisely and not counsel as Job's friends ends up counseling, but that we would truly counsel as Christ would counsel, that in a way that would represent him faithfully. So that's what we're going to think about together. Let's go to him now and ask for his help. Well, Father, we thank you that you are a good and faithful Father, and that Jesus, you are a wonderful counselor, and that Spirit, you are a wise comforter. You are a helper. You are good and you do good. You are compassionate and you are merciful. And so we pray even now that you would teach us your ways, that you would conform us to the image of your Son, so that when we listen and when we speak, we would speak as if the oracles of God, that we would represent you faithfully. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. We'll turn to the book of Job, if you would. We'll just touch our feet in a few places. We're not going to read every verse. That may assure you a little. Because the book of Job undermines our natural instincts about suffering. If we have a simplistic view of the world, this book will unsettle it. If we have a simplistic theology that we bring to life, this book will unsettle it. Reap what you sow. Galatians 6:7. That makes sense, right? How many of us love that verse? It's just clean. Just you reap what you sow. Reap what you did not sow makes a lot less sense. It unsettles us. Now, we love it when it comes to grace, because grace is you reap what you didn't sow. The gospel is we will spend eternity reaping something we didn't sow, that Christ sowed with his blood. And so we praise God for that side of it. And yet, what about when that reaping what you didn't sow is suffering? It's tragedy. The Lord allowing tragedy to befall the wicked seems just, Proverbs 29:16. The Lord allowing tragedy to befall the righteous seems unjust. That's the book of Job. And so when Job endures this great weight of suffering that doesn't directly correlate with his own heart condition and behavior, it undermines just all our natural instincts about the way the world should work. This doesn't make sense to his friends. It doesn't make sense to Job. But on different sides of that equation, listen to what he says in chapter 6, verse 2. Oh, that my vexation were weighed, and all my calamity laid in the balances. For then it would be heavier than the sand of the sea. Therefore my words have been rash. For the arrows of the Almighty are in me. My spirit drinks their poison. The terrors of God are arrayed against me. I mean, that's heavy. Those are weighty words. And even he's expressing a level of vexation that is overwhelming. And that's part of why his words are rash. And you have to be ready for that in counseling ministry. If you're sitting with someone who's overwhelmed by tragedy, they will say rash things. If you're sitting with someone who's overwhelmed with vexation, they will say rash things, and you have to be ready and not play whack-a-mole with them where you just slam every possible wrong statement or rash thing. Because before this point, Job saw God as his friend, as someone on his side. Now he's confused. Why has the Lord turned against him? That's what he's thinking. What has he done to deserve this from God? Those are the questions that he's asking. Those are the questions we start asking. If we're him, we're like, Lord, I thought we were on the same team here. I thought you were for me and with me. Why have you turned against me? So it leads to a few big takeaways from the book of Job. Number one, the book of Job gives us a category for innocent suffering. Number two, Job also helps us see what it means to suffer well and to suffer poorly. In some ways, we'll see Job go back and forth a little bit. The story also teaches us how to be the right kind of comforters to those who suffer. Once his three friends are done speaking, Job's like, "Sorry comforters are you all." And what's most scary, what should most scare us, is if God says that to us. Lousy at comforting are you. That you would respond and relate in this way. Now, praise God, he doesn't condemn anyone. And yet he's going to say to Job at the end, hey, you go offer a sacrifice for your three friends. And I'll accept it. Because they've spoken wrongly of me. What's interesting is God isn't going to actually have Job offer a sacrifice because they were lousy in their counseling toward him. They have to offer sacrifice because in that counseling, they misrepresented the Lord. And what's amazing is by the end of the book, Job is interceding for them. And God's going to receive it. And yet we get to learn by following the story, okay, there's a right kind of comforting and there's a wrong kind of comforting. And praise God, the Lord knows we're all in process. We're all learning, but we have to be alert to, there's just times we're going to comfort lousy. And we have to be ready for that feedback in moments. Number four, the story of Job gives us the reason for hope amid suffering. And if there's a goal I would encourage you to take up in your counseling ministry, it's to instill hope. It's that you would help people fix hope and know where to look for hope. And so we'll start. So just the reality of innocent suffering. Here's the key principle. God is perfectly good and infinitely powerful, and suffering is very real and can be very great. Those two things are true all at the same time. And when we're suffering intensely, we have trouble reconciling those two things. That God is perfectly good, infinitely powerful, and suffering is very real and can be very great. And the backdrop of all this is the fall. That suffering exists because sin exists. Suffering exists because there was a demonic rebellion at some point before Genesis 3, followed by human rebellion in Genesis 3, followed by all these curses that God justly put upon creation in Genesis 3. And then the rest of the Bible is the unfolding of all of that suffering and sin and misery in the world. That's why you read Genesis 5, and what's the most repeated phrase in Genesis 5? And he died. And he died. The chapter could just be titled, God Meant What He Said. That in the day you eat of it, you'll die. Well, and so just the story that's going to unfold in Scripture. So we see the origin of evil, the origin of suffering. That's the backdrop. And most people agree that Job lived in the days of the book of Genesis. So early in the history of the world, he lived in a cursed world, a suffering world, where the only viable hope was what God planted in Genesis 3:15.